We're going to look at two verses tonight, verses 13 and verse 20. Now, last week, you may recall that we began to talk about the concern of Daniel. We began to talk about the coming of that certain man being an angel. And then we discussed briefly the communication of the angel and the importance of the communication of that angel to Daniel. And the fact that that angel was sent for one specific reason only. And I told you this last week as I looked at chapter 10, 11, and 12 to conclude our study in Daniel. These three books, these three chapters rather in this book could basically be one chapter in itself. They build off of one another. And looking at parts of chapter 10, which we discussed last week, some of that prophecy has already been fulfilled. We know that some of that history has already taken place. A lot of that history has already been put in our actual history books in the school systems. So those things have been fulfilled. And we are now waiting on that 70th week. If you recall, we talked about the 70th week, which means 1 week representing 7 years. So we know that when the tribulation begins, that is going to be a 7-year period. It's going to be a 1-week period, and that's going to conclude that 70th week. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the conflict in the spirit world. If you remember last week, I talked about the importance of the spirit world and how we oftentimes don't think about the spirit world, and which, don't get me wrong, that does not need to be our focus as Christians. Our main goal and concern is not to worry about the spirit world in itself, but we must be aware that there is a spiritual battle going on day in and day out between good and between evil. And this is something that's been going on since Lucifer, Satan, decided that he was going to attempt to dethrone God. And that's when these evil principalities, that's an important word that we're going to discuss tonight. That's when these evil principalities entered the world. We know that Michael, the archangel, actually had a battle with Lucifer. And he is the one who kicked him and his fledglings out of heaven. Those fallen angels out of heaven. And when those fallen angels descended from heaven, they began to roam the earth. And we know now that Satan himself continues to roam this earth. He's wanting to seek out and he's wanting to devour anyone that he can get his hands on. So we're going to look at verse 13 and we're going to look at verse 20. More on verse 13 than 20 tonight. And then we will be able to conclude next week with 14 through 21. But as I began to study these verses and began to find more commentary to support the importance of understanding the spiritual role that was played, I realized that more time needed to be given to discuss this tonight. And I know that we are oftentimes afraid to converse in a church setting because some of us feel that that's improper. But you know, if you ever feel like there's something that doesn't make sense or you don't know, we can talk about it. That's okay. But then if you're not comfortable talking about it in front of your peers here in the congregation, feel free to talk to me about it after church or through the course of the week, because I know if you're like me, you've got to have lots of questions because there's just so much going on in these final three chapters of Daniel. And so just through this one verse alone is very important. So we're going to look at verse 13 out of Daniel chapter 10. And this is the angelic conflict. So verse 13 reads, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me after I had been left there with the kings of Persia." Now, if you remember last week when we talked about this, saying that Michael was there and he was there to assist me, we know that that person that Daniel was seeing was not Jesus incarnate. He was seeing an angel. Most likely Gabriel, since we know that Gabriel had visited him in the 8th chapter of which we studied and the 9th chapter that we studied. So most likely this visit was from Gabriel. But see, he says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Now, this is not prince of Persia. This is not a man. This is a demon. And he opposed him for 21 days. And so that's what we're going to really focus on. Because if you remember, we talked about Daniel praying for how many weeks? Do you recall what we said last week? He prayed for how many weeks? 3. And so remember, last week we talked about it actually was in weeks and days as we observe our weeks and days, not a week representing a 7-year period. This was actually what we live by on our calendar through our Gregorian calendar. So these two verses, 13 and we'll read 20, they contain an amazing disclosure, giving us a rare glimpse into the unseen world of spiritual forces. And as I said, you know, that's not something we dwell on, nor should we dwell on it, but we must always be aware that those spiritual forces are there. In this conflict that we're reading of is a total disregard by most people in our civilized era in which we live. Most people do not acknowledge this. Some people are skeptical about it as if it does not exist at all, especially, of course, those who are non-believers. But then there are some people we know that believe in supernatural powers, believe in evil powers, but obviously they don't believe in God. They worship an evil power. And we know that to be Satan. That is his plan. That is his ploy to weaken those minds, to harden those hearts so that they cannot break those chains. And we know they can't break them on their own. There's only one way, and they have to have assistance and total help, rather, from Jesus Christ to break those chains, to bust away that hardened heart. But with the struggle that we're talking about right here in verse 13, the spiritual conflicts that Daniel was witnessing through this vision, these are real. This was the struggle of all struggles. When Daniel began to pray about the distressed state of his people, the Israelites, God at once dispatched one of his holy angels to minister to Daniel. So, you know, in our minds, we always point up saying this is heaven. Okay? So, however quickly it took Gabriel to be summoned by God, he leaves the throne room of God to go to minister to Daniel. But as he's making his way to Daniel, he sees something in his eyes, in his vision, in his peripheral, you'd say. And he sees this prince of Persia. And this evil, demonic angel had full control of Persia, because at this time, Persia was a strong and mighty, powerful country and nation. And they were being ruled by evil spirits. Now, the evil spirits were ruling these men's lives, these people who were put in power. So the spirit of Satan was in control, and that's going to be his ultimate goal, as we've talked about in weeks past, of when the Antichrist comes, to be of evil power, to be of evil control. And so for 21 days, Gabriel was in a battle with this spirit, and he couldn't get to Daniel. He couldn't get to him. And then we see, as we read here, that Michael came up, and Michael, the archangel, the chief angel, came in to assist Gabriel. So Michael began to fight this evil spirit in Persia so Gabriel could leave and carry out his duty that God had asked him to do. So, you know, it could have only taken 2 weeks. It could have only taken a week or a day. But we know that God had a purpose and why that battle lasted for 21 days. And so Gabriel then has relief, and he's able to go and get to Daniel and to assist him and to minister to him. Many suggest that this prince of Persia was actually King Cyrus, but that's not the case. As we have, if you've studied through here and read your chapters 10, 11, and 12, you see that this prince of Persia was no man at all. It was an evil, demonic angel. And as I said at the beginning of tonight's message, I said, you know, there's skepticism about the idea of demons and evil spirits existing in our world. And because one thing, people don't really think that those type of things will infiltrate a government such as the United States of America or a mighty power in Russia, Japan, Korea, wherever you choose, let alone, you know, meddle in something so trivial as Daniel's prayer. We're going to learn tonight the importance of what Daniel's prayer was all about. Because, see, when Daniel realized what was going on with his fellow Israelites. He realized they were still suffering, even though they were out of their 70 years of bondage. They went back to their homeland. And see, the sad part about it was when many of them made that journey back to their homeland had been unoccupied for 70 years. And so a lot of nomadic individuals had moved in and filled that space who were not Israelites. And so that was a struggle. It wasn't like they were just able to leave and come right back and pick up where they left off 70 years prior. They had to go back in and they had to work, and things just were not going like Daniel had hoped. So he was under great stress and understood that there's only one way to get this problem fixed, and that is to pray to God. So the devil, he knew that now he sees old Daniel's heart. He's really getting right. He's getting ready to lament himself, prostrate himself on the floor, on the ground, and ask God to have mercy on his people. Remember, he fasted for this amount of time as well. No sleep. He devoted all of his time, all of his physical might for 21 days of prayer and fasting so that God would do something about it. But bear in mind that God heard his prayer as soon as he opened his mouth 21 days prior to. So you wonder, maybe God was just really, God knew that Gabriel was going to be able to hold down this evil demon. So, you know, I wonder, maybe he was just wanting to see how faithful Daniel was once again, even though he'd seen how faithful he was for the past 70 years of his life. But maybe he was still testing Daniel to see, will he really fast and will he really pray to me for 21 days before I answer him? And so we understand and know that unfortunately there are demonic, evil angels who roam this earth, who seek to infiltrate our government. And when I say that, I mean that we have evil spirits that enter our flesh, our bodies. And that's why we've got to keep our defense up at all times. That's why we've got to have the armor of Christ on at all times, because if you take it down for a brief moment, Satan's going to do whatever he can to get inside and to then master his way and to control your life. So that's why we have to make sure that we stay and remain steadfast for the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. And looking at Leviticus 17:7 gives a prime example of demonic forces in the Old Testament. I'm going to read a few verses in the Old Testament that give us proof of demons, and then a few names, I guess you'd say, that are given to Satan in the New Testament. So Leviticus 17:7 reads, "They must no longer offer their sacrifices to the goat demons that they have prostituted themselves with. This will be a permanent statute for them throughout their generations." And then 2 Chronicles 11:15 reads, "Jeroboam appointed his own priest for high places, the goat demons and the golden calves he had made." So we see here that this was real. These idols that these people worship were real, and that, I mean, it was called the goat demon. This is in God's word. These people believed in demons. That was a way that they felt that they received power through the evils of the world. And then Psalms 106, 36, and 37 says, "They serve their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons." This took place. We know. I don't know if any of you have seen any video footage of the lady, the mother, who killed her children and husband in Georgia. And when she was sitting in court, she was smiling. She couldn't speak any English. Allegedly, she couldn't speak any English. It didn't seem that she could. She had a translator. But she's sitting there, and this judge is making recommendations of what she needs to do, and then the translator's telling her what to do, and she's just taking it all in, and she's smiling. And to me, when you look at a face like that, what she did, and whether it's mental or not, but see, that's the thing too. Satan controls mentally. And we're going to talk about that later as well. And whatever weakness one individual may have, and Satan knows it, he's going to find any way he can to use that. But that lady had a smile on her face after she brutally murdered her children and her husband. That's evil. We constantly can see the evil that is in this world, and it's the hate that's in our hearts. And the reason why there's hate in our hearts is because God's not there. Satan is. The ways of the world are in too many people's hearts. We need a lot more Jesus. A lot more. So we have to understand and know that even through this Bible study, you know, we've learned so much about Daniel and his faithfulness to prayer. And I hope that you've been able to maybe increase your faithfulness in prayer. But at the same time, we've got to be able to recognize that these types of things exist in our life because Daniel had to deal with these evil demons. The Old Testament prophecies, prophets had to deal with this. The New Testament had to deal with this. So this is something that exists, and that's why we've got to make sure that we stand up boldly for Christ and that we put our armor on it day in and day out and that we make sure we work together as a unit for one common goal. And in the New Testament, there were several words that were used to describe evil spirits, one being an unclean spirit, an unclean devil, seducing spirit, spirit of devils. These are just four words or descriptions of evil spirits. 1 Corinthians 10, 20-21 says, "No, but I do say that what they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons." Listen, this is important. It says, "You cannot share in the Lord's table and the table of demons." So what that means is you cannot sip of the Lord's cup and then drink with the world Monday through Saturday. That's what that means. You can't put on your holy face on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, and then all the other days you put on another face, that masquerade, that fake face, that false face. We've got to be real. We have to make sure that we want a sip of the cup of Christ and not the cup of this world. And something that we must be aware of is that these spirits that we speak of, they're intelligent, they're evil, they're vicious. They have great power, and their main goal is to hurt man. Oh, you may seem that you've got things going the way you need to, but it's just a matter of time before things begin to spiral away and out of control. The demons themselves, these evil spirits, they want to control you physically. They want to control you mentally. But more important, they want to be able to control you spiritually and morally. Because if they can disturb that moral compass, then they can then take you and lead you where they want you to go. And that is as far away from the center of God as possible. And so that's why we have to, once again, keep that armor on for Christ. Given examples of how spirits themselves control bodies in human form. They can paralyze one's voice. They can render one dumb by controlling the voice. They can smite blindness. They can impart superhuman strength. They can torment the body and the mind to induce suicidal mania and cause disease and control one's body for long periods of time. If you recall when Jesus took care of the demons from the one man who had been outcast from the city, and when he cast those demons out of that individual, he cast them into a flock, a group, a herd of swine. And what did those swine do? They took off running, mad, off of a cliff. And that was inside of a man. And this is true, ladies and gentlemen. This is in God's holy and infallible word. This is not something that was made up. And those evil spirits there are the very same evil spirits that exist in today's life. Now, you probably weren't expecting to hear of this tonight. Unless you'd already read 10, 11, and 12, then you may have seen and understood that we probably were going to have an in-depth conversation about spirits. But I want to tell you something else before we go back to verse 13 and verse 20 in regard to Daniel. And that word I used early was principalities. And so Romans 8:38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come." So what this means is, that word principality, it also can be translated as government, okay? And so we take the word prince from principality, a leader, a ruler. But most times a prince was a ruler of some small country. And so this particular area would be what he was responsible for. But obviously the word principalities is plural. So what this means is these princes, these evil princes, this is not talking about the princes that were in control in man form. I'm now speaking from a evil spirited form. So these principalities were out and about everywhere. So basically what that means is There's evil spirits all around, here in our own government systems, here across the Middle East, in Russia, in China, and wherever there's government and political power, there are evil spirits. But on top of that, wherever there are evil spirits, there's also good spirits, heavenly angels, such as Michael, for example. Michael's main goal from God is for him to be the protector, an overseer of Israel. Now, we know that God is in total control. We know that God can do all of this on his own, but he has angels to do his work for him, to be in places across the world doing his work. And that's what's so great about this is, you know, once again, remember, we're not battling any of these things on our own. We're battling these things through the help of the Holy Spirit, but through ministering angels. And so we learn of governments, we learn of these principalities, and that's the one good thing, that we cannot be persuaded by these things. That's what it says. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities," these evil things, "cannot hurt me. They cannot do anything to me because we have the power of Jesus living within us." And on three occasions, our own Lord and Savior refers to Satan as the prince of this world. He says this in John 12:31. And I will read that verse too. It says, "Now in the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out." So we know that Jesus recognizes that one day this prince of the world is going to be cast out. He's going to be done away with. And Satan knows this. He knows that his time is running out. He doesn't know the time. Only God knows the time. But Satan knows that it's only a matter of time before his departure is at hand. And so while he's still able to seek and roam and devour whomever, he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to recruit as many people as he can to help him ruin people's lives. That's what it boils down to ruin people's lives. These evil forces are called the rulers of the darkness of this world. And Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities," that means the evil that is in this world, "against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And this army of evil princes that we speak of is who Christ and his own followers will fight against. And that's what he fights. It's a conflict that goes on every single day. Now, looking back at verse 13, the information here, it shows that the Jews here were not simply facing human opposition any longer. It wasn't just human issues. It wasn't just enmity with the Persian government. What it was actual powerful spiritual beings that were operating in a heavenly realm as well. So they were fighting spiritual battles and they were fighting these earthly battles as well. So they realized it was coming from both ways. And so we see that the evil spirit, it delayed God's message. That's the key word there. It delayed Gabriel getting to Daniel, but it didn't prevent him. It was only a delay. We know that God can conquer all. We know that God has the power to conquer all. So God's plan was delayed for a brief moment, but we know there was obviously a reason for that. Otherwise, it would not have been delayed for those 21 days. So we see in verse 13, the latter part of verse 13, where it says, "Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me after I had been left there with the kings of Persia." Okay, so Michael, as I said, was a chief angel, and he appeared to Gabriel to help him, to assist him, and he released him from that battle so he could go and minister to Daniel. And so upon reading this verse here, it appears also, after discovery, that Michael himself plays a vital role in watching over Israel and Israel's people. But he also played a very important role in all things that God does. In all things that God does. And so the vision that Daniel saw when interpreted was a prophecy of events commencing with his own time and his own people. So that's what made him so grief-stricken. That's what hurt him, because he realized this was going to affect his own people. And so he also realized it was going to affect future generations, because he realized that these evils were going to roam the face of this earth until Jesus Christ returned. Because he knew that there was going to be a Messiah, which was revealed to him in the previous chapters that we studied. So when Daniel began to pray for that spiritual victory of his people, you know that Satan had to intervene. He had to do whatever he could to prevent those prayers from reaching God. He had to do whatever he could to keep Gabriel from coming and giving Daniel his word. And you can read another conflict, which I'm sure most of you have read before, but if you have an opportunity, I suggest that you read Jude chapter 9. Jude chapter 9, this is another battle between good and evil, and this is actually the discussion of the war of the body of Moses, where the good spirit, the good angel, and the evil angels are fighting over the body of Moses. That is in Jude chapter 9. I encourage you to read that. But verse 13 says, "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." And so what's so important that Michael came to help is this. The name Michael, the angelic name Michael, means who is like God. Not God. He's not God. We know this. But who is like God? And what's so great about Michael and the role that he plays is that he'll actually accompany the Lord when Jesus takes home his church. That'll be one of the jobs that Michael will be a part of. He'll get to be with Jesus Christ himself when he gathers his people unto him at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel," that's Michael, "and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Daniel 10, Jude 9, and Revelation 12 are other books in the Bible that Michael is associated with, and how he carries out the warfare for Jesus Christ. And he does this between the good, and he does this between the evil angels. Could you imagine that responsibility, that role that Michael plays, and how important it is that he's needed, that God needs him, and he's always there at his beck and call. We know that Michael and Gabriel were the leading angels for God, and that they were constantly doing God's work and taking care of the evil in the world. And aren't you glad that they're able to do that for us even today? But even greater than that is the fact that we're able to have the Holy Spirit live within us. We know that Daniel did not have the opportunity to experience the Holy Spirit. And as I taught this morning, how important it is that Jesus told us that it was expedient for me to leave. So that is, the quicker you let me go, or you realize I need to go, I'm going to send to you a comforter. And that's what we have. We have a comforter, a one who can take care of our needs and minister to us as well. And if we recognize, if we listen, if we open ourselves up to this comforter. But in closing, before we leave, I want to read a few more verses that gives you a great picture, paints a wonderful picture of Michael and how powerful of an angel and servant he is for God. So Revelation 12, if you have your Bibles, turn there now if you don't mind. Revelation 12, and we'll look at verses 7 through 11. You know, as we mentioned many weeks ago now, Daniel and the book of Revelations are very similar one to another. A lot of parallelisms, I guess you'd say, between the two. And so this is a prime example as well. Verses 7 through 11 of Revelation 12, it says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels also fought, but he could not prevail." Speaking of the dragon. "And there was no place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'The salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have now come, because the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been thrown down.'" Listen to verse 11. Follow on. This is good. It says, "They conquered him." Talking about Satan. "They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point
of death.
So nothing can separate us from the love of God. And what has allowed us to experience this is the blood of the Lamb. And that blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary's cross is the very same blood that's going to defeat Satan. Is that very same power that is going to defeat Satan and all of his evil angels. And that's what we rejoice in. And that's what we can look forward to in knowing that, soon and very soon, maybe we are going to see the King. And just as Brother Edgar's saying, 10,000 years and forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's what it's all about. So these things that we read tonight, it can be disheartening. It can burden your heart to know that this type of evil exists. But John 16:33 says, there will be trials and there will be tribulations, but I want you to be of good cheer. For I, being Jesus, have overcome the world. And that's what it's about. Every day of our lives that we are so blessed to have here, that's what it's all about. We need to be of good cheer and know that the battle has already been won. Just a few moments I'll spend on verse 20. So we'll read that now back in Daniel 10. Verse 20 of Daniel chapter 10. It says, he said, do you know why I've come to you? This is the angel saying this to Daniel. I must return at once to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I leave, the prince of Greece will come. So what he's saying is that when I get finished here with the prince of Persia, we're going to have problems with Greece as well. Because at this time, the prince of Persia, or Persia as I mentioned, was a powerful ruling nation. Now Greece had not come into power yet. They came in after Persia. I'm going to jog your memory for a moment. Do you remember maybe 3 weeks ago we talked about the horns? We talked about Alexander the Great. And you remember that I said that Alexander the Great, powerful. He rose to fame and fortune and power quicker than anyone else. But remember, he died unexpectedly by some disease per se. And he had no offspring. So his power, remember, was divided by four. And this is one of those in which we're speaking of now. And see, all of that Daniel was hearing and seeing, he knew some of that had already began to take place. And so he knew that these things were coming to an end. And remember when he was studying Jeremiah, that's when he realized that, oh, our exile is getting ready to come to an end. So he had reason to rejoice, but then he began to see how his people were suffering still, even though they were somewhat free from Babylonian rule. So this Gabriel, this angel, he's letting him know that I've ministered to you now. I've got more work to do in Persia. But unfortunately, Daniel, to fulfill the prophecy, there's going to be even more work after the powers of Persia fall. Greece will rise up. So when the angel spoke these words to Daniel, matter of fact, the Medo-Persian Empire had about 200 more years. So that's what kind of time frame we're looking at. About 200 more years before Greece actually came into power. So, you know, who are we to say? We may not know in what I've studied. We don't know how long Gabriel was in battle with this prince of Persia. It could have went on for another 200 years. You know, we don't know that. I don't know that. I didn't find anything that verified that. You may, and if you do, feel free to let me know. But can you imagine, though, these are the types of things that go on. Through the course of time, the good and the evil, those constant battles of light and of dark are constantly going on. And aren't you glad that we don't see those things? Aren't you glad that our eyes are not opened up to those types of visions? Satan knew that the Medo-Persian time was going to come to an end, referring back to verse 20. But once again, Satan is not a stupid person per se. He's intelligent. He's conniving. And so he had plenty of time to create a plan to know that as soon as this Persian Empire began to crumble, he's going to put or raise up another evil spirit or force to continue his work. But, you know, we speak of Satan's intelligence. But we know that our God is an omniscient and omnipotent God. And of course, he was prepared for the next attack by Satan, just as he's prepared for every attack that he gives you each and every day. But are you prepared? Do you take the necessary steps to be prepared to battle evil all the days of your life until God calls you home? And the only way to be prepared is to constantly put yourself in his word and to pray and to be faithful and to know that God is faithful and he will take care of you, just as he provided for Daniel all of those years. Now, when we come back next Sunday, we will look at verses 14 through 21, and we're going to now study the cause of the angel's coming. And so what I'm saying there is, what is the main purpose of why this angel had to come and speak and to minister to Daniel? That's going to be verses 14 through 21, and then we'll be able to go into Daniel chapter 11. But if you have not read these verses, I want you, I encourage you, to read 14 through 21 before next Sunday evening. It will really do you some good to see exactly what the angel's purpose was and how this angel literally ministered to Daniel. Because remember, he had fasted for those 21 days. He was weak physically. He was weak mentally. He was weak emotionally. He was weak spiritually. But this angel was able to minister to him, to give him his strength and to open his eyes so that he can understand more and more of this vision. Because remember, this is the last vision. This is the last vision that Daniel would be given. And so he knew that he had to have his full strength. He had to have his mind sharp and focused so that he could do God's work. The specific purpose of these angels coming to Daniel are so important for us to understand and know that they impart to him the necessary understanding of what each vision means. And you know, if you look back over what we've studied over the course of the last, 6 months now, what we've studied, it all goes back to his faithfulness. It all goes back to his willingness to recognize God's sovereignty, to recognize that, God, I will pour my heart and soul into you, Father, because you've proven to me time and time again that you'll provide. And it may not be the easiest escape, but God will always provide. And that's what he's for. He is the great provider. He sees the needs of his people, and he wants to assist and help. But all he needs from you and from me is to be faithful and have a strong prayer life so that communication from God to you is open constantly, so that you have a great rapport with him, just like Daniel did, and have that great existing faith that will carry you on through eternity. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, God. I thank you for the ones who are here tonight, Lord. What a blessing it is to be in your house, each an opportunity that's provided, God. And Lord, I just thank you so much for Daniel. Lord, I thank you for choosing a man of Daniel's nature and stature to be so faithful, God. At an early age, as a 13, 14-year-old boy, God, you began to use him. Lord, all you need from us is willing vessels. And all we need to do is to seek you for power, for wisdom, for strength, for courage, and for boldness, so that we too can be like Daniel. Father, we love you and we praise you. Amen.